Hey, y'all. Welcome to Co-Parenting Past Chaos, a podcast that gives you a raw and unfiltered insight on marriage, divorce, the crazy adventures of co-parenting, and so much more with your hosts, April and Lauren. Not only are we best friends, we are also the wife and former wife of the same man. Join us each week as we take you on a journey inside our wild and chaotic lives and show you how we were able to forge and maintain a positive co-parenting relationship while collectively parenting a lot of kids with a few husbands. We're definitely not professionals and we'll probably get you into more trouble than you bargained for, but what we do have is a sense of humor, street smarts, and a few decades of experience under our wife, mom, and divorcee belt. This ain't your mama's podcast. Welcome to episode 118 of Co-Parenting Past Chaos.
We're back.
We have broken out straight from the gates of hell.
Yes. Oh, quarantine is done. Thank goodness.
We've been in quarantine for 84 years.
Yeah.
One of us, not you or I, is still in quarantine.
That's right.
But he stays in quarantine most of the time.
Yeah, anyway, so we have not seen him, so it's all good.
Yeah. You know, I look forward to recording with you. It's like one of my favorite things in the world to do because
I know, and we had to skip last week and I was so pissed.
Yeah, but we didn't just skip last week for recording. We skipped last week for
everything.
Life.
Yeah.
And finally, when I got to see you this week, I was like, oh my God, I think I've been more depressed because I've missed you than anything else. That's sad.
Yeah. And I don't feel like this quarantine ran as smoothly as some of the previous ones.
No, because we were more stressed because this was the real deal. The other ones before, I think, were practice rounds.
They were.
This one was like, code red. We are in the midst of the pandemic.
Yep. And so we definitely freaked out a little bit and we quarantined. We were all quarantined amongst like four different houses at one point. I mean, we did the right thing.
We did.
It didn't spread like wildfire. Like what we thought was going to happen.
If you haven't followed our social media, which I've been MIA for lots of reasons, but Lauren's been keeping up with it, letting everybody know what was going on. Jet was the first child that tested positive for COVID, which is so crazy because in my mind, still kids couldn't get COVID.
Right. And out of all of them, him.
Yeah. And the youngest baby gets COVID. Then what if about 3 or 4 days later, John tests positive for COVID. And we all had been quarantining already, so it worked out. And John and Jet just kind of hunkered down.
They just rode out the wave together.
One room of the house, and that's where they've been. And Jet finally got cut loose today and is back to school. And John still has a few days on his jail sentence. I know we're joking, and it's not. It's a serious thing, but thank God Jet was okay.
He was.
He only had a fever and very, very mild symptoms. And John seems to be, you know, men are different than women when
it comes to... He has the man flu.
Yeah, so he has the man version of COVID, which is, you know, 100 times worse than anybody else's. But he's doing very well. I did read a comment the other day. One of our followers said that when she listens to our podcast, she almost feels like she's intruding on a private therapy session. And honestly, I was like, that's the best compliment because that's what we want this to be. Well, that's what I would like it to be.
I mean, honestly, it is therapy for the two of us.
It is because it is raw, vulnerable emotion that we're giving. It's honest. Everything we say is honest. We don't always tell everything.
Right.
Because, you know.
Sometimes we do forget that we're recording.
So Papa Gator's here. He made a surprise visit.
I know.
Very excited about that. We tried to do this big surprise for Tanner. And you and I were having this conversation late last night because we needed a little therapy of our own. I was telling you how important I feel like it is for us to make sure our kids have the most normal life possible, even though, you know, they come from a family of divorce. So I planned this big, huge surprise for Tanner for his dad to come home, only for him to just really let me down as a mom because he's a teenager and I have to realize his life doesn't stop because his dad's home. And my life does stop when Roy's home, even though he's no longer my husband. He's still such a very close friend to you and to myself. But I want Tanner to just have the best life ever, all of our kids. But when he decided he'd rather go spend time with his friends than with his dad and I, that's why I lost my voice because I yelled at Roy so bad because I was so hurt and upset.
I mean, I remember being a teenager and I remember going and seeing my dad on visitations. And the first thing I wanted to do was just go see my friends.
Yeah.
I didn't want to spend time with him. And now that I'm so much older, I'm like, man, I wish I would have spent more time with my dad. Maybe we would have connected had I just like gotten to know my dad versus run away to my friends. But I think when you're in a blended family or when you have had that break in your family happen, sometimes your friends are the constant. They're the stability. And that's and a familiarity for
them. My girls were like that and they still are. Like they very much are involved with the family and they like to do family things, but they rely on their friends a lot. And so do I.
I do too.
And I do that with you mostly because, know. You know, you're my closest friend. We just gravitate towards what they are and familiar and constant. Mm-hmm. And our families, because we are a military family and we've moved around so much, our families aren't always there. And not because we don't want them to or because they don't want to be, because they can't.
And I think we talked about this on live. What I said, one of the greatest things that we've given all of our children is they have such a stability and a safety net in their parents.
Yes.
That they do have that freedom and they feel like they can go spread their wings and go have their friends and relationships and learn new things and kind of try on different things in life because they know at the end of the day, they will always have a home base.
It did make me feel good when you explained it to me that way. And I thought to myself, you know what? She's right. Because we have created such a good life for our children that Tanner doesn't need to go spend every minute with his dad because he knows that we're going to always be together and we're going to provide this safe, comforting environment for him that he can go off and live his life and have fun with his friends.
He's not running away from it. That's so nice for him to have.
I'm glad that he has
that. So kudos.
There I go. All right. Funny story. If you have followed our story from the beginning, you know that this community houses all of our husbands, ex-husbands, boyfriends, everything, friends. I mean, we have
stands.
A one-stop shop here, right in this community. Well, my first husband who lived here with his wife and she has a daughter and they have a daughter together. He recently decided to move back to where we're from in Tennessee. We just left this week and he asked me to go over and he's going to have some repairs done to his house. So the first thing was the carpet. He's going to have new carpet installed. So he says, can you go over? Well, I have this thing about being alone with men that I don't know. So Roy's in town. I'm like, hey, I'll just have him go over with me. Well, Jerry says, all right, the code to my front door is the last four of my social. Now, if you're a military family,
you know it.
That we have to know the last four of our spouse's social for everything. That's how we are identified in the military world. So I'm sitting there and he's like, you do remember it, right? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And I think for a minute, I'm like, okay. So I go down the list, my Rolodex in my head of men that I've married. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's this. And he's like, nope, not me. And I'm like, oh crap. Wait a minute. That's one of our kids. Okay. So I don't feel so bad. It wasn't another husband. Finally, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I've got it. Roy beats me there. Well, Jerry has already told the carpet man that his ex-wife is coming to let him in. So Roy's there before me and I see him talking to the carpet man and he looks confused and Roy's like, I just told him I'm your ex-husband. And I'm like, okay, you are. He's like, yeah, but Jerry already told him that he's your ex-husband. So I'm like, oh, this carpet man thinks that I'm just white trash Betty marrying all the neighborhood. I said, you know what, sir, I'm just the neighborhood wife. So don't worry. Don't judge me.
But, that's the best story.
It's just, you can't make it up.
Hashtag goals right there.
Right.
I mean, really, though, I recently FaceTimed my first ex-husband.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
We have this sick thing where I guess it's every 2 years we fall off the face of the planet with each other and then pick back up. It's about been that mark of 2 years. We have no children together. We've been divorced 11 years as of today.
Oh my gosh.
So we met when we were 18. We have the same friend group. He's a little bit of a gypsy.
Imagine that.
And so he'll go off the grid and then I'll hear from him again. But he was in Texas visiting some of our friends and my best friend FaceTimed me while they were all partying and he was there. And I swear he was wearing the same shoes he wore in high school, probably with the same hat. And it was just so nice to see. You know, he still refers to me as Mrs. Wood. Same last name. And I'm like, okay, Mr. Wood, what do you want? And it's just like very nice to kind of catch up. I love being friends with exes. I think it's so normal.
They share so much or they have shared so much of our lives. Why wouldn't you? I'm a stickler for memories.
Me too.
So it's not weird to me.
Especially when that person continued to mean so much to you and really did treat you well throughout your lifetime.
Well, and that was your first love.
It was. While I don't share children with him, I shared my childhood with him.
Yeah.
And then I share children with John. John and I may never have that same type of bond, I don't see anything wrong with just keeping people that at least earned the right to be in your life.
Yeah, I'm not saying like a boyfriend that you dated for a few months or even a few years.
Or one that ended on really bad terms.
Then you don't keep up with that. But when you have a husband, an ex-husband, and you have kids with him, or even if you don't, you've just been married to him for a while and you spent so much of your life, why not?
It's just nice to catch up.
I just love love.
And
I really do.
I like celebrating where people have come from. Like, the fact that I can catch up with him after 10 years and be so proud of his successes and the man that he is, and him be proud of me and where I am in life. I mean, that's so cool just to watch and cheer someone on from afar.
One of my favorite things, because Jerry and I grew up together. I mean, we met when I was 12 years old and we're from the same hometown. So I love when we all get together and we share all of these memories from our childhoods. I mean, Jerry and I got married as children. And then here comes Roy, and we were married for so many years and we shared so much together, and we get to reminiscing about things that happened as the kids were growing up, or just our co-parenting, because, you know, we were the OGs.
I'm not going to lie. I reminisce more with your ex-husbands than I do my own ex-husbands.
But it's just so much fun. I love reliving those memories, those good times, and even the bad ones, because now we laugh about them. Mm-hmm. I just went over to Jerry's the other night because he was having this little going away kind of get together. And one of our old friends that lived with him while Jerry and I were going through our separation was there. And I had got to catch up for a minute. He starts bringing up all these stories of how I was when Jerry and Jessica first started dating. I'm like, well, you know, that wasn't my finest
hour. Where was my invite? I should have been there.
Right?
It was just
so much fun hearing those things and now being able to laugh about them when at that point I was crying in a corner about them. So it's just, you know, it's funny how life makes full circle and comes back around and you get to just live in that moment.
It is. And we've always said, if you have the opportunity to go and laugh in the places that you once cried, it'll be the biggest therapy you've ever had.
I love looking at Jerry now and not wanting to choke him. Mm-hmm. And we share this beautiful, perfect grandson, and he and Roy get together and they get to make fun of me and say how, you know, I can't keep a man, guys. And it's great. So
it's a real blast.
Whatever. So last time we recorded, last podcast, we talked about setting boundaries in your relationship. And this week, we wanted to cover this topic for a really, really long time. And I felt so bad, I think, myself about it. But you, where I give you the courage to do certain things, you give me the courage to do certain things.
Yeah.
And I love that we have this very, very tight bond that we never judge one another on anything.
Never.
Relationships, parenthood, womanhood, anything. So
it was like, oh, but it's different.
But it's different because it's us. Okay. So this week we're going to talk about mom burnout, how we're going to raise the white flag as moms or bonus moms.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go on for hours about this. So I'm going to try to stay on topic, but it's going to be really hard. There are two different avenues that I really want us to touch on. And it's being a mom first and then being a bonus mom. We're tired as either of them.
I'm exhausted.
Especially after the last couple of weeks. I was coming back from the grocery store and I was thinking about 4 years ago. If we had gone through this pandemic and quarantine 4 years ago, imagine how different that would have looked for our family. Because we weren't speaking. Really, we weren't co-parenting at all.
No.
We accounted for every single minute. If you were late or if we were late, it just was a whole big fiasco for pickups or drop-offs or anything.
That gives me anxiety just thinking about what it would be like. And I don't want to ever think that because it would have been bad.
It makes me sad to think that there are still families, unfortunately, going through that. I wonder how they handled this pandemic. And I bet it was miserable for some people.
I'm sure.
Even though we were quarantined when we were right across the street from each other, basically, we still managed to parent these kids and make sure that they knew, you know, nobody's mad at anybody. We're just keeping our distance from six family members.
Every chance we got, we would drive up the street or walk up the street or vice versa. I mean, the fact that we co-parented during this time in such close proximity, I think is another saving grace to us.
It is.
Because I can't imagine having done this from two different states or two different counties.
No. And Roy and I were having a conversation this morning and I was just telling him how it's really hard. All three of us are going to do a podcast together, you, me, and Roy. And we're going to talk about this more in detail. But I was just explaining to him how difficult it is for him to be across the United States on one side. And here we are on the other side. And I don't have another co-parent for Tanner. And because I don't, I've counted on you and leaned on you so much. And it made me get so emotional because, you don't have to do that for me, but you show up to every soccer game for Tanner. And he's just like, they're my moms. And he's prepared and knows him. That we're going to be there. Yeah. And if you're not there, okay, where's Miss Lauren? Yeah. He needs to know, why aren't you there? Why aren't you there supporting him in the stands and making his mom not scream and embarrass him so loud?
I don't know if I can avoid all of that for you, Tanner. I'm sorry, but I will be the calm one in the stands, or try to be. But, you know, I started thinking about this and I never really, I kind of fell into this position of bonus parenting your children unknowingly, because I didn't realize that's really what it was. I have bonus children to an extent, and I don't feel like I parent them as much as I do your children. And I think that's because you and I have really become a couple.
We have.
We are the mom and dad.
We are.
And all the kids just know that we're home base, no matter what. The dads have to go because of jobs, you know, and relocate, and the dads are dads. But the moms are here. And
we're solid and steady.
We've created this for all of our kids, whether you're bonus, bio. I don't even think the titles even matter for us at this point.
It doesn't.
We've just provided.
And I remember a time where we fought over that.
Oh my God.
Where even after we became friends, it was a very touchy subject for us to even talk about. But now it's like my girls who are grown come in and they're like, oh, there's Mama Lo. And all the boys are, there are moms. It just doesn't matter. It's so mundane.
Now. You're a person that they are familiar with. And I remember that back in the day, we used to feel like we had to run absolutely everything by each other. I don't know why, like, we were going to get tattled on, or we had a fear of, okay, I need to make sure she knows that this is what's, you know, being communicated, or this is what this child is doing. At this point, I don't care who the kid is or what mom they go to. Just deal with it.
Deal
I don't need
it.
To hear about it. I'm good.
No.
As long as they've gone to you.
Unless it's like
solid.
A huge deal. I'm not going to stress you out over something
exactly.
So simple and just.
But that's what partners do.
Yep.
I know that no matter what child it is, if they go to you, the issue is going to get solved. You're going to handle it. I have so much confidence in you and that you're going to be able to take care of them no matter what. I don't need to always be involved in that.
And the same, because I'll tell you sometimes, okay, look, I don't know what's going on with my girls, but they haven't always been so open and honest with me, because you and I have different parenting styles sometimes on certain things. They feel more comfortable, I think, going to you for certain issues. And you just deal with it. I don't need to know unless it's life threatening.
Because you have confidence in
that
what
you're
I'm gonna going
to handle it, and you're going to do it the way
in
it
the
needs
way that
to be
you
done.
Would probably want it to be done.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't want to do it. And
no.
It's fine.
Well, there's certain things I don't want
exactly.
to do.
So, and I just do it.
Fair
so
is fair.
That's where we make a whole.
Oh, we really do. We balance each other so well.
We do. So Roy said this to me the other day, this quote, and I was like, oh, hold on. I have to write this down because it really made sense. And especially about the topic that we're talking about this week. He said, we make dysfunction look normal.
Ooh.
And we do.
That's
because
true.
We're so dysfunctional.
Oh, completely.
But we got it together. It's like a cool dysfunction at this point.
If something was functional, I don't think I would know what to do.
Heck no.
It has to be dysfunctional for me to work in it.
We strive. No, I don't think
we thrive.
We don't strive for, but we thrive for the chaos or in the chaos.
It's true. I think that's why I don't feel as a part of my other world of co-parenting, because it's so functional.
Yes.
That I'm like, I'm going to nacho that one. And I don't know how many of our listeners are familiar with the nacho.
Nacho mama, baby.
Yeah. Nacho parenting style. But it's a term that they use in like the stepmom and bonus mom world of nacho kids. Nacho problem,
right.
Basically. Not that I wouldn't do anything for them. I absolutely would. But they already have a well-oiled machine.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I'm kind of like, all right, I'm just going to be the fun aunt or the responsible adult in this situation. While I've got a whole circus of dysfunction that I can at least be a part of. And I'm very comfortable in parenting with. Two different worlds.
Very different worlds. But it's okay because we make it work in both worlds.
I hope our kids agree.
I hope so. They probably don't. They're probably like, these bitches don't have a clue.
They don't.
But it's okay. We're together.
But I think they're going to grow up knowing that, just like we just said, chaos is normal for us.
It is. And you know what?
They're going to think that about their parents.
Last week and part of the week prior when we were dealing with all this, because our communication wasn't as much as we normally do, because we didn't need to.
Yeah.
But it almost gave me more anxiety because I was like, wait a minute, there's nothing going on. There's no chaos. So it scares me that something's wrong.
Well, I think we have our own personal chaos right now, like in our own, nothing to do with parenting and nothing really to do with co-parenting.
No.
Just our own personal chaos.
But I know you are mine. I don't know if I'm yours, because I know you actually do speak to other adults where I don't so much, but you're that person that I go to for all my problem solving.
And oh, no, you are too. I screenshot you. I know. I'm like, all right, here we go.
Here's what's going on. Fix this. But it was hard because I knew you were dealing with so much personally and mom wise. And I was too over here.
And you
here,
were too.
But I didn't want to come to you for all the other craziness. I was like, okay, that's going to have to take a back seat.
I don't know why. And this is maybe just like riding the trains of the dysfunction. But sometimes when other people bring me their dysfunction, it makes me feel better. And so I can for a minute have a break from my own.
Yes.
And I can actually focus on theirs.
It's almost like a healthy version of misery loves company.
Kind of, yeah.
You know, because yes. You want to hear that other people have been through or are going through something that you have gone through, yes. So that you relate to it and you're like, okay, I'm not alone.
And for a moment you can be a sounding board for that person and take your mind away from your own problems. And sometimes it does help you answer your own along the way.
I am, because of, I think, my zodiac sign, I like to be alone sometimes, yes. But I prefer to be around people.
You want to be alone with someone.
Right. I want to be alone with somebody. And that's why if we are so great together, because we will be alone with each other.
Oh,
we will
God.
Sit in a room and not speak to each other and it'll be perfectly fine. But I don't want to be alone because I don't want to deal with my shit.
Nobody does. Nobody does.
I had not talked to my brother in I don't know how long, sadly. It's sad that I go through those periods of time where I just shut down and I don't talk to anybody. And I talked to him finally. Well, we text back and forth this week. And I told him that I said, you know, I'm such a shit show that when I am alone, I am forced to deal with all the demons and all the trauma that's going through my brain that I just choose to not be. I surround myself with fixers. Mm-hmm. With people that I need to fix or that I need to help. I'm always like, what do you need? What do you need?
Well, you hired the right friend because I'm a whole shit show that you can fix.
Honey,
I was her project. I was her project.
It's just going to be a lifelong thing and it's
okay. I think she gave up. I think she's just like, listen.
But I hope other moms can relate to how we feel, because I truly feel like a dirtbag sometimes because I'm just tired. And we talked about this last night. Especially, you know, after the last couple of weeks, we're drained, we're exhausted. And sometimes you just don't want a mom. And I think that we don't say that out loud enough because of the judgment of society and other moms and even your spouse, the father of your children sometimes will use that against you. Like, wow, you're just not a good person. You don't want to be a mom. Yeah. No, it's not that I don't want to be a mom.
I want a break.
I want a break.
I remember this was relatively recently. Jackson had asked me, he was like, Mom, do you ever sometimes you just don't want to be a mom? And in that moment, I had the opportunity, because this is a child that tries to always kind of, I think, get certain things on me or say certain things to use them against me. But I said, you know what, Jackson? I love being a mom. I would never want to not be a mom. But sometimes I do get tired with being a mom.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. It just
is. It's 24/7. And right now, with the way things are going in the world, last year our kids didn't go to school. So we weren't just mom. We were teachers. And we were stuck in the house because our kids couldn't go anywhere.
And not to like dilute anyone else's motherhood necessarily, but our motherhood has been under microscopes. It's been criticized. It's been made harder at times than most motherhoods have. And I feel like it's been exhausting since the day I gave birth. It's just a never ending.
Well, you've had to prove yourself and fight. I feel the same way on a different level.
But you still feel it.
Because I was such a young mom.
Yes.
And I had to prove all the time that I was okay. I was good. I was able to take care of my kids. And you've had to do it in a different aspect, but the same
thing.
And you're
parenting so many children with so many different personalities, so many issues.
So many parents.
So many parents. So many things that you have to retract or go back and fix, or like new age levels of hormones. We're getting into like preteen years now with one, teenage years with another. We've got adults in there and we've still got a first grader.
And newsflash, we have vaginas and they have wieners. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a wiener, so I don't know what goes through their minds
I relate a little bit better.
You do, because you probably like were a wiener in another life.
I probably was born.
I don't think I've ever been a wiener in any of my lives, but I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I relate so much more to daughters.
Girls.
And I was able to raise them. Well, half of them. One of them, she's just a whole alien child and I don't know about her, but I could relate to them. I could understand the hormones and all the things. That's what I tell Roy all the time. Don't leave me. Please don't leave again because I can't do this with
Roy
this child.
Roy is really, really good with being a boy dad. Like Roy is really good.
He was good being a girl dad too.
I know.
Too,
so,
and
okay,
it really
kudos to Roy. He can just figure out all of it.
He knows all the sexes.
Great job, Roy. Wish we could all be a Roy.
Yeah,
but
we're
we
not.
Can't.
Okay. I'm not. not. I'm an April. And
we have our strong suits and our weak ones.
I'll admit that I'm ashamed to gripe about motherhood sometimes because I know it's a privilege that is denied to many women. Yeah. And it makes me sad. However, I think you're allowed to complain about any situation that you're in if you want to. Even if it's something that you chose, you're allowed to complain about it.
I think so.
And if those women want to come and parent these kids, come on, girl.
By all means. I saw this. It's a manifestation that you're supposed to try for. It says four things to change every day for a week, and then you change your mindset. Well, the very first one out the gate is don't complain for a week.
Okay,
and
that wouldn't work for me. I can't not complain for a day.
What all does that mean? What does that entail? Because I definitely complain about motherhood.
I find myself about everything. Silently, sometimes. But I complain.
I mean, yeah, I'm a negative person, though. And I will outright say that I am not a positive person. I have very little. I'm positively negative.
I'm just a realist. And yeah. I think you're a realist as well. So I do try to be positive, especially if somebody else is negative. I do try to point you in the positive direction. Yeah. But it's hard sometimes, especially when things are going bad. And I said that the other day when I was talking to my brother. I know I have so many things to be thankful for and grateful for, and I'm very blessed. However, I'm really angry.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of things that are going on that are out of my control.
Yeah.
And I just want to fix everything. And I can't.
I find it hard to be a positive person with people when they're in the negative state. And so I'm usually very awkward. You know that.
Yeah.
I'm always, she wants me to give her an answer. And I'm always like, I mean, you know, it could be worse. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
And then
I get
mad and I look at you like, are you stupid? No, it can't be worse. This is worse.
I'm a horrible. I'm great.
I'd rather you just be honest and say, bitch, it's a lost cause.
It's a lost cause. I want to be like neutral because, you know, you never know. Someone may change their mind about their opinions and you don't want to have been the one that drove them down that road.
Yeah, that's true.
Or encourage that negativity.
Like, you know, I thought because also during all this stuff, you and I worked full time last year. And I thought, okay, maybe if I don't work, it's going to make this easier.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
I work harder now, yeah. Which because we run a business together. Yeah. We're also quote unquote stay at home moms. Mm-hmm. We work harder now than we've ever worked.
Yes.
Running after these kids is a full time job.
It's a lot. We have a lot.
I read this article the other day that was talking about stay-at-home moms. And whether you're a working mom or a stay-at-home mom, there's no competition.
I've done
both. Yeah, we've both done them. And your responsibilities are in excess. But the article said that if you take all the duties of a stay-at-home mom and calculate the salary for that job, that you would be paid over $160,000 a year.
Well, I'm severely underpaid.
I'm extremely underpaid and I demand a raise. I want to speak to the manager.
I have no benefits. Like this
nothing.
Is awful.
No sleep, no benefits, no
appreciation. On call 24/7.
Yeah,
I didn't sign up for this. Yeah,
not at all. Everybody knows I've been a mom since I was 12. Not really, 14, but still, that's a long time to be a mom. And I feel like I had to grow up fast anyway, just because of the life that I had as a child. I'm tired. Really tired. And I feel like, okay, now, you know, my girls are grown and one of them has given me a grandchild and it's great because I do get to send him back. But I still have this teenager that's at home that I'm trying my best to get raised. And, you know, I don't even know what I'm doing to him. I'm trying to get him to just be a productive member of society at this point.
He'll be fine.
Now, for my personal experience, when I met John, his parenthood career was just beginning. And mine was in the Twilight tour. I was on the home stretch.
Yes, you were.
And, you know, I wrote about this early on when we were writing our blogs that I had wanted more children. And, mm-hmm. you know, Roy and I could never decide when the right time was. And finally, it was like, okay, now my eggs are old and I should probably just
hang up my hat.
I'm geriatric at this point, so I'm not breedable. And it's just a lost cause. But I meet this man and he's got these amazing kids and I just step in because I didn't know how to be a stepmom.
Right.
So I just was a mom. And with our situation during that time, it was very easy and it was almost required of
yes.
me.
Yes.
You know, I have to be a mom again. And I was okay with that. And I'm still okay with that. But at the same time, I'm tired again. I know I keep saying that, but it's.
I don't blame you. I mean, I was just talking to Heather, my friend, about this and she chose motherhood. Right? Like she chose to get pregnant.
Yeah, I never chose it. It kind of chose me.
I didn't either. Right? So motherhood picked us accidentally or miraculously, whatever you want to say. So I look at it and I'm like, are we like not allowed to complain, or are we allowed to complain more because motherhood chose us and mm-hmm. not us choosing motherhood? I don't know. Sometimes I have more guilt over that, especially when I'm talking to a mom who tried to have a baby and got pregnant and did all the things the right way. I mean, hello, I had a kid as a mistress. I mean, I was a class A, not meant to happen, oopsie. And I'm a mom all of a sudden at 22 years old.
I was born in April, teen mom and mistress.
Don't recommend.
No, don't start out that way.
So I feel bad sometimes complaining of motherhood because I do love it and I would never trade it. Not it's even at all.
So special and rewarding and amazing. At the same time, it's not draining.
Exactly. And I didn't go into it with expectations because I was never expecting to be a mom. So my expectations had to come really fast, you know, before you quickly give birth. And now it's like, oh my God, this is so much different than I thought it was going to be. I got a different child. Sometimes I yell at the boys and I'm like, you are not allowing me to be the type of mom that I wanted to be.
I had a different plan and different expectations, and you are not letting me live up to those.
Exactly. Instead, I look like a lunatic all the time.
Yes. And it's just sometimes not enjoyable.
It's not rewarding.
And I think it's harder for people that are in blended families because you don't have that solid two-parent relationship constantly. You and I have built a two-parent relationship and family. However, we don't necessarily live together all the time. So it's hard.
And we have other parents and other, you know, personality types and parenting styles that kind of still cross over into what I see as my vision of raising my children and my motherhood. You and I are always on the same page. So when anything else kind of like shifts away from that, I feel like I'm always brought back to square one and it's starting all over again. I have a child that's not a good thing for, and I have to stay very consistent with, and it's becoming a challenge. At this point, I told Jackson lately, and you can mom shame me all you
want.
Never. But I told him, I said, I only have 7 more years with you. I mean, truth be told, I wanted him to really understand, I only get 7 more years with you. And then you're technically able to go out into this world with the best that I have possibly been able to give you, or you can just throw it all away. And I'm giving you what I can now in hopes that it's enough at 18 years. But guess what, Jack? In 7 years, you're going to be an adult and on your own. And that's a really scary thing, because then I'm not responsible anymore. I don't know if that even resonates with his little tiny self, but he wants to challenge me constantly. And I look at it and I'm like, oh my God, 7 more years.
And I'll tell you, on a different end of parenting, because I have parented children that have now grown up to be adults, and you do miss it. I mean, I remember when the girls both graduated and they went off, and I was just sitting here in this house, just Tanner and myself, and I would cry because I just wanted them. And I love when all of our kids are together and they're here and we get to see them. But I also love when they go back to their own homes.
Yes.
And I love that break. I appreciate you so much, because as a mom, like you were saying about Jack and not knowing if, you know, it's resonating and you're doing the right thing, I look back on how hard I was and still am to myself about my motherhood. And, you know, as such a young mom with both the girls, did I do the right things? Probably not. But I really tried hard and did the best that I could, as I think all moms do. But you always remind me, you have really great girls.
You do.
And that means so much, because I remember sitting where you are now. And I mean, I'm still there because we're doing this together, but sitting there thinking they're going to be horrible humans because I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm so worried.
You are doing a great job and they're going to be okay.
I'm hoping it's just a phase. Am I in a phase? Have I entered into that?
We've stayed in a phase for a very long time.
When does the phase end?
It never ends. There's something else that I'm so envious of you. And this is so hard to say as a bonus mom, especially when your bonus children's biological mother is sitting across from you and also happens to be your best friend. I envy the fact that you get the chance and the choice to be a different type of stepmom. And you get to say, you know what? I'm going to nacho in my bonus children's world. I never got that opportunity, and I never will, because at this point, it's like, you know, when you're in too deep.
You're in too deep.
These kids, there's one, maybe two of them, of your children, that are only ever going to know a life with me in it.
Yeah.
And one of our children thinks that we created him.
Together.
Together by touching tummies. And
I'm completely okay with that.
Grew him at different points in the pregnancy. And I don't know how we gave birth to him at the same time, but he thinks we did. And I could never just say, you know what, I'm going to step back and just not be these children's mom
anymore. It would hurt me if you did that, because you are my Yeah. Co-parent. You're my partner. And I'm sorry. Co-parent. That's a lot of pressure for you. I feel bad sometimes. But at the same time, my mom always reminds me, she said, Lauren, all you ever wanted in your marriage during your divorce was a partner to raise kids with. It didn't turn out to look like what I wanted it to look like, but it turned out to be better than I could have ever imagined because I get to parent with someone who parents exactly like me, who we both love each other. We both show our children what love,
we respect
friendship, each other. We show our children what a healthy relationship is like. It's so funny as that is.
We're really sick and strange.
I'm just saying
it's
though.
Okay.
But it's true.
It is true.
You know how they say that all you can pray for, you know, when your ex moves on is that they're showing your children an example of a healthy relationship.
Well, we are.
And you know what? No one ever said there was a play-by-play rule book of what it's supposed to look like.
No, we've made our own rules thus far, and we're going to continue it.
I think we've done a pretty good job.
I mean, I think, you know what? We're not perfect. We never will be. And I don't even strive anymore. I used to. I don't strive to be perfect. I just strive to make it. I want us to just make it.
And I think I just strive at this point to be exactly who I am. And that's stable enough for my children. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I are batshit crazy together. And that's the best stability we can give them. They will never question us, who we are to them, how it is that we're mothering. Like, we're just consistently inconsistent. We're just psycho. And they know that.
Do you know what makes me feel like we really are doing a good job? We're mostly at this home, the home that I live at. You're here pretty much all the time.
Every day.
And that's fine. But this is the house that has kids 24/7.
This is the house that built me.
It built us all.
It built and broke us, but it's good.
We have kids in the yard, in the house. There are at any given time, 8 to 10 teenagers and 12 little munchkins running around.
We have kids that ask us to be their parents.
Yeah.
Their
and moms. They think we're cool.
I'm so guess not what? Cool, but that we is awesome.
We
are cool.
And we must be doing something right because there aren't many homes that all the kids want to
congregate to. Yes.
This is the home. And
we're the moms. What? We are those moms.
When I think I'm not doing a good job or when you think you're not doing enough or we think that we're too tired to handle anymore, I remember that. And I think, you know what? These kids need us. We're doing the best that we can.
We are. And I think what I love even more is that we are the moms that are accepting. Our mm-hmm. arms will always be wide open to our children and other children, no matter what.
And we're going to scream. We're going to yell.
Yep. But there's no conditions on our love.
No.
And our children can choose to be whoever they want and do whatever they want in life. We will always support them. We will support their friends. We're those moms. I think we came from good moms and we took what good we had from our moms and we just expanded it. We just grew it together.
You take things from others that you need. You don't take some of the things that you just don't or you don't like. And that's what we've done. And we're making it work. As crazy as it is and as unconventional, we're making it work.
I think it's awesome.
I want other moms to feel the same way that we do. And the fact that it's okay to complain. It's okay to bitch and moan and gripe and scream and pull your hair out and lay in your bed for days and cry. Mm-hmm. It's okay. What I don't want them to do is... I don't want you to compare yourself to others.
Don't
Your journey is not the same as theirs. Your situation isn't the same. Don't be afraid to ask for help. I was so that person.
Me too.
And I think that's something, you're right. Both of us were that way.
Together.
And we've learned that, guess what? We have to ask for help.
Otherwise,
we would lose it.
Yes.
Take care of yourself. Don't feel guilty and selfish for doing so. We still have a problem sometimes doing that, but we're getting better. We're going to take more trips.
I think that was a really good thing for us.
Yeah.
And I think it shows our kids what burnout can look like and what self-care needs to happen and go into fixing that. And really rejuvenating yourself again. Because the kids burn out too.
Yep.
And they're going to experience it and they need to have you as an example. I think all we can do is be examples for our children.
Don't set such high standards for yourself. And it's okay if what you expected doesn't happen. Just switch it up. Change up the rules and make your own.
You can plot twist at any time.
We plot twist at least once a week.
Oh, all the time.
Twice on a good day.
All the time. Nothing is, don't ever go into anything with a game plan.
Oh,
just
God,
go in with complete ready for anything to happen.
Chaos. Okay, y'all, get in touch with us. We love to hear from our listeners. Send us topics that you'd like us to discuss. And if you want to learn more about all of our chaos from the beginning, check out our website, pastchaos.com. Follow us on all of our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We go live on Wednesdays to give you guys a glimpse into our crazy world. And just another reminder that you can stream the full season of You, Me, and My Ex on Discovery Plus. Call on the Kirks.
Oh, God.
We have another listener question.
Okay.
So after a divorce or breakup, do you delete photo evidence of your ex on social media?
Okay. So with John, because I was angry at him, I didn't delete, but I did put them into a private album. Some of them, not all of them, because I mean, that's going back like 10 years.
Right.
That would have taken too long. So in the recent years of things that I had on Facebook, maybe, yeah, I put them into private albums that only I have just so, because I don't want to delete them completely. Those are for my kids someday, and they may not have hard copies of them, but I'm not going back 10 years and deleting pictures of him. Like, that just takes too much time. I'm sorry.
We've talked about pictures a lot on our podcast about our exes and hanging in our house and, you know, everywhere around, but we haven't really discussed as far as social media goes. And we're living in a world of social media.
Yeah.
I know that if it were an ex-boyfriend or something, no, I wouldn't keep them. I think
I would delete those. Yeah.
But like you said, for Roy and I's marriage, when Jerry and I were married, there was no social media. That was
right. Same.
I mean, there wasn't even internet when we first got married. So
I had MySpace.
Well, if Jerry and I didn't even have MySpace, I didn't come until I met Roy, but I did make a lot of our albums on Facebook private from Roy and I's marriage, but I would never delete him. I don't want to delete him from my life.
I deleted a lot of like profile pictures and stuff that had John because, again, I was angry. So I wanted to do that. That was of my own free will. But there's a ton on my Facebook, if you scroll back far enough, that it's still him on there.
Like, yeah, it's still part of my life. I don't find that to be disrespectful. I mean, if you're setting it as your profile picture, and
if it's maybe like a recent, you know, more recent of the more recent years, I guess maybe, but I'm not going back 8-10 years. That's just
no. And if y'all even know, I've got too many husbands, it would take me so long to delete all those
pictures. I did make another Instagram. So like I just started a new social media.
Oh, well, that's a good idea.
I mean, just start fresh. I thought that was really good anyways. I think it's kind of nice to move forward into a new chapter with a fresh start. So certain social medias, if you don't need them, just start a new one.
I think that also you just don't need to sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
It just really, in the end, it doesn't matter. There's so many other things that you can be mad about. Why be mad about a picture?
Yeah. And 9 times out of 10, a lot of the stuff, it's a milestone in my child's life. I'm not going to delete a video that shows my son walking, you know, of course. Like, and John just happened to be his arms in there. Like, that's dumb. No.
I mean, you could, in the pictures that you have in the home, you know, be like Lauren and just cut their faces out of them.
A box cutter took it and I left it hung up.
That's all the time we have for tonight. Thanks so much for listening and hanging out with us. If you'd like to find out more about the Kirks and our big blended family, visit our website at pastchaos.com.
Make sure you don't miss out on any of this train wreck and chaos by hitting the subscribe button. If you really want to get personal, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Be sure to tune in every Sunday when we release new episodes. We would really appreciate it if you would subscribe to and review our podcast.
And just so y'all know, we love Jesus, but we cuss a little.